You are listening to the Doug Hagmann Radio Show, weekdays 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And now the man behind the mic, a private investigator with over 30 years under his belt, Doug Hagmann.
Good morning, everyone. It's 6 a.m. on the West Coast of America, 9 a.m. here in the East. Welcome to Hagmann. It's the Doug Hagmann Investigative Hour for today. It is Friday, finally Friday, January 19th, 2018. Thanks for joining me this morning. In-depth look at what's going on, and there is a lot going on. Kind of like I told you so. This is I'm going to tell you right now, we are at the most dangerous point in American history. Believe it when I tell you. It would be helpful if you are able to go through, go back, maybe this weekend, spend some time and listen to my previous episodes from this week from the Doug Hagmann Investigative Hour, the Doug Hagmann Radio Show. Listen to those. Listen to the background, because there's some repetition. Repetition is important because we need to understand exactly what is taking place. What we're seeing unfold today is by orders of magnitude hundreds of times worse than Watergate ever could have been and ever was. What we're seeing today is the biggest abuse of power by a political party, by the, I don't even want to say a political, but by the deep state, members of the deep state, the globalists, by Obama, by Clinton, but most importantly, by the members of the intelligence community. Now, I'm going to explain everything. This episode will explain everything. I hope to provide enough information, walk you through this, that you will be sufficiently armed with the facts. Again, this is the most important time in American history, modern American history, at least in my lifetime, than I could remember. And it is so critically important that everyone understands what's going on, because we are fighting for the Republic. That's not an understatement either. We are fighting for the Republic. And not one shot, not one bullet has been fired from any gun. This is the weaponization of our intelligence apparatus through a number of people, but at the behest of Hillary Clinton, Barack Hussein Obama, Loretta Lynch, James Comey, Sally Yates, Andrew McCabe. I'm going to explain all of this. Again, the most important time in American history, bar none. And you're not going to see this on CNN or MSNBC. It's not going to be out there. As a matter of fact, overnight, hashtag release the memo, hashtag release the document, or plural documents. Twitter kept pushing down, or I don't want to say shadow banning, but certainly not making it easy for those hashtags to be prevalent. It's interesting how the censorship works to watch it in real time. And I've been following this throughout the night, very little sleep, just looking at this. And because, we are at the moment in time where we are disclosure of the information will end up doing a couple of things. Number one, I believe that the disclosure of the documents, the memo, if you will, and I'll get into that in a moment, will be sufficient to oust Robert Mueller. It'll just kill the Mueller special counsel. As a matter of fact, not only will it just put Mueller out of his position, but it may just cause another special counsel to be formed to look into the criminal activity, not scandalous, but criminal activity of some of the highest members of the Obama regime. That's right. This is where we're at today. And you're not going to see that this again, on MSNBC or any of the television networks. You will see this explained on Fox News by Sean Hannity, which, again, I say this again, this is why I have been speaking very highly of Sean Hannity and urging everyone to watch his broadcast, because he is the only one that is leading with this information, at least in the mainstream media, if that's what you want to call that venue. Now, the evidence that the House Intelligence Committee has right now, and we need to understand what the evidence is. The four-page, if you will, House Intelligence Memo, which is really at the epicenter of all of the news about the FISA, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, abuses. This is at the heart of everything. And, well, let me explain. The weaponization of the Department of Justice and the FBI. Corruption within the Department of Justice and the FBI. At the epicenter of that corruption was the unlawful, illegal, and abusive use of FISA 702 requests. Now, what FISA 702 requests are, essentially, are the... Well, if you believe, for example, if you are in the Justice Department, you believe that there's a potential of terrorist activity, you use a FISA 702 to tap, to obtain, procure information from surveillance already conducted or is in progress. Now, this also involves how that intelligence, how that information was obtained and passed to those outside of our government, and was more or less repackaged into what is known as the Steele dossier. Now, again, you've got people, sources such as Sundance and the Conservative Treehouse. You've got Don Bongino talking about this. So I would urge everyone to look those sources up and to follow closely what they are saying, what they are reporting. Sarah Carter as well. But the Department of Justice, the National Security Division, and the Department of Justice is compartmentalized in numerous branches, if you will. One of those, of course, branches is the National Security Division. And then the FBI, the same thing. You've got many branches within the FBI. You've got the Counterintelligence Division within the FBI. The Department of Justice National Security Division and the FBI, the Counterintelligence Division, worked together. They collaborated to create the Russian narrative against Donald Trump. They collaborated to prevent Donald Trump from being elected, and failing that, they collaborated to have him removed. And they're still doing this to a lesser extent, not using the FISA system, but they're still doing this through the media. Now, and through Mueller, by the way. And again, I've often said this, and I've gotten a lot of heat for saying this by some people from the internet. Robert Mueller is not working for, in any way, shape, or form, Donald Trump. There are some people who believe that he is somehow involved in this 3D chess game that will actually send many of the Obama regime people to jail. No, that's not what is taking place. At least this is my opinion, and my opinion is based on information I've got directly from one Washington insider, very close, well, within the intelligence community, who has I've been in contact with now, my goodness, I don't want to say almost hourly, but twice within the last 12 hours. And hey, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning where I'm at. So anyway, and also you've got to look at Mueller's the special counsel. Well, who is advising Mueller? You've got James Baker, who happens to be the FBI chief legal counsel. So he is part of this. But the evidence of the corruption, the rot within the Department of Justice and the FBI and their weaponization of intelligence is what exists inside this four-page intelligence committee memo that everyone's talking about. Release the memo. Release the memo. It's evidence of corruption. Now, let me give you the names. And as Dan Bongino has often said, and I've heard this throughout my career as an investigator, commit the names to memory. And here are the names. On the Department, and I've said this before in my program, on the Department of Justice side, you've got Loretta Lynch, obviously, head of the Department of Justice. Under her, Assistant Attorney General Sally Yates. And then you've got Assistant Attorney General, Head of National Security, there's a division, National Security, John Carlin. Now, these names will be coming up, I guarantee you, in the future. Then, of course, one name we all know, Deputy Attorney Bruce Orr, O-H-R. The legal liaison between Department of Justice and the FBI, Lisa Page. Now, you know Lisa Page, of course, is the female component of the love tryst between Batman, Peter Strzok of the FBI, and the Department of Justice. So, there you have the Department of Justice side. And that's not the entire list, but that's the primary list. Now, let's take the FBI side. Well, you've got Comey, of course, the FBI director at the time, Comey. And don't forget, Mueller was the director of the FBI for, he was the second longest FBI director, second only to J. Edgar Hoover, but Comey, at the time all of this was going down. You had his assistant director, Andrew McCabe. Now, the director of the counterintelligence division of the FBI, who Comey referenced in the when he was being questioned by Elise Stefanik, but never named or never identified by name, Bill Priestep. And if you've been listening to my show, you know I've talked about Bill Priestep. And then, again, the FBI chief legal counsel who is advising Mueller today, that's James Baker. And then, of course, Batman, who is the lead FBI counterintelligence agent, Peter Strzok. Now, so you've got two sides to this coin. You've got the FBI on one side and the Department of Justice on the other. Now, who put together, or who was really the operatives with respect to the creation of this now well-debunked piece of garbage, this 35-page dossier? Let's name those people. At the epicenter of this, you've got the founder, well, the co-founder of Fusion GPS, Glenn Simpson. So you got, just so you know, Fusion GPS is an opposition research group that was founded by three journalists, Glenn Simpson, Peter Fritsch, and Catan. But Glenn Simpson figures prominently in this. And so does his wife, Mary Jacoby. Okay. Now, Fusion GPS, the co-founder there, Glenn Simpson, and the wife of Simpson, Mary Jacoby, a hired private contractor familiar with CIA operations, is Nellie Orr, who's also the wife of Bruce Orr, who was on the Department of Justice, or inside the Department of Justice. Now, this is critical because there is the connection. And, of course, don't forget, former British MI6 agent and head of Russia House, Christopher Steele. Now, authorship has been attributed to Steele with respect to the dossier. I contend that it wasn't necessarily Steele, but perhaps Nellie Orr. Think about that for a second. Now, I've got so many notes here. By the way, again, I ask that you, if you're listening to this, I want to thank you so much for listening to this. I want to ask a favor of all of you. Please, 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 please spread the word about the Doug Hagmann Radio Show to everyone you know. Take the link of this show, spread it around, put it on social networking. The reason is there are very few people who are really attempting to get the truth out there. Look, I'm not saying I've got a corner or I cornered the market on truth. Absolutely not. There are many, many, many people out there that, many good people, I should say. But I'm devoting the entire show to expose this corruption and going deeper than most, using well-sourced documents, using well-sourced, well-placed sources. So please, spread the word about the Doug Hagmann Investigative or Doug Hagmann Radio Show. I don't even know the name of my own show. Again, it's been a long night just following the news. And so please spread the word. Also, if you have the opportunity, go to the Hagmann Report or HagmannReport.com. But by the way, there is the HagmannReport.com. You'll find on the upper navigation bar the ability to listen, the link to listen to this show and all the past shows. Also, check out the videos I've done. And if you can't find them, they're on our homepage on the Hagmann Report YouTube feed. The news briefs I've done over the last week explains a lot, especially the one yesterday that lays out the why, the motive behind all of this, which is extremely important. I go back to 2005 when Bill Clinton, for example, went to Kazakhstan, reportedly to give the people of Kazakhstan the vaccine for AIDS or some drug for AIDS. But the problem is there was no epidemic of AIDS in Kazakhstan. It was like 0.1% of the population. But the real reason there, of course, was the uranium. And that's how the uranium one fits into all of this. That was September of 2005. And then like a month before that, in August 2005, I also bring up the fact that Barack Hussein Obama was part of the Luger delegation, and he got stopped at the Perm Airport. You know, they were overseeing the dismantling of the warheads. And what's in the warheads? It's uranium, of course. But they got stopped at the Perm Airport in Siberia in August of 2005 over a question about Obama's passport. Ultimately, it was not, they weren't stopped because of it, but ultimately there was a question about Obama's passport. So check out the video I did yesterday and pass that around, post it on social networking. I ask that you do that because I think it's pretty informative. But this show in particular, because of the depth of how far I get into this particular topic. Now, just understand one thing. There were six U.S. agencies who conspired to illegally wiretap our President Donald Trump. And British intelligence was used as an NSA front to spy on the campaign. And not only just spy on the campaign, but spy on the president-elect and the people around him. Now, from the beginning, it was set up to find dirt on Donald Trump, the campaign insiders, and if it were at all possible to topple Donald Trump's presidential aspirations. Failing that, the objective move from preventing him from obtaining office to now removing him from office. Hence, we saw the Mueller special counsel created and the investigation henceforth. And we have seen this mission creep, or as Sidney Powell says, God bless her, I love her, creeps on a mission. It has gone far beyond the mandate of the special counsel. But understand this, six U.S. agencies conspired to illegally wiretap, surveil President Donald Trump and everyone around him. And everyone listening to this broadcast, I don't care if you're the most liberal of liberals, everyone should be upset, very concerned about this and angry about this, because this is a violation of all of our Fourth Amendment rights against illegal search and seizure. But nonetheless, before and after the 2016 election and during this operation, look, there are a lot, to understand this, you have to understand there are a lot of moving parts, a lot of things going on, a lot of players, but the mission was to unseat or is to unseat Donald Trump. It never changed. It's still ongoing. Don't think for a minute that all of this stopped. It's still going on. And we see that with the media. And no clearer example than the media. And think back in your lifetime. I don't care if you're 15 years old listening to this or if you're 75. because this broadcast covers the wide range of age groups. Now, have you ever seen a more hostile press to a president? Have you ever seen a press that has just really disrespected the office of the presidency? By the way, I don't like to use that word disrespect as a verb. I just don't like that, but you know what I mean. Look, we had wiretapping of and surveillance of Paul Manafort and Carter Page and Donald Trump Jr. and Jared Kushner and Michael Flynn and Donald Trump himself in this mission, which started out at first to keep Donald Trump out of the White House. Now it is to remove him. And not one bit of this is legal. In fact, all of it is illegal. Now, you look at some of the high-ranking FBI sources. The FBI played a definitive role in plotting this breach of privacy and this objective. And I'm talking about Comey's FBI. And even Mueller now is special counsel. But the FBI had a lot of help from the NSA, from the CIA, from the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, from the Treasury Financial Crimes Division under DHS, and the Justice Department. The deep state, the people of the deep state, of the shadow government, the people who were involved, the names should be very familiar. I went over the DOJ and the FBI. Let me just kind of widen the names again. James Comey, John Brennan, James Clapper. Now, James Comey, FBI. John Brennan, CIA. James Clapper, the ODNI. Loretta Lynch from the Department of Justice. We cannot forget Jay Johnson from the Department of Homeland Security, the head of DHS. Now, Michael Rogers oversaw the NSA, but he's the guy that pulled the plug and made everything known to Donald Trump in a November 17th, 2017 meeting at Trump Tower. And then, of course, you have Director of British Intelligence. This is a name that you should remember, Robert Hannigan. Now, he resigned as the head of the director of GCHQ. Now, GCHQ is the intelligence agency of the UK. Sorry about that. That was my Batman phone, right? All right. So, hey, live radio. Anything can happen. Who knows? So, you have, and as I said, Robert Hannigan is resigned from the GCHQ. But at the very tip of this, Obama, of course, and Obama's White House, the people inside the Obama White House are part and parcel to this as well. I'm giving you the suspect list, if you will, or the names of the people who are involved in this. The evidence will point, I guarantee you, will implicate directly the direct involvement of Obama himself, because Obama had to know exactly what was going on through the presidential daily briefings and did nothing to put a stop to this. So either he was approving of this, there was a tacit approval, or worse. I'll just leave it at that. So six U.S. intelligence agencies created this stealth task force. And who was at the, or who spearheaded this in a manner that, if you were to select a leader, I would suspect that it would be CIA's John Brennan to run the domestic surveillance operation on Trump and associates and on Donald Trump, and most importantly, Donald Trump himself. It was John Brennan and this will come out. I'm looking at notes here that I've gotten from my source. John Brennan he has not been named so far, at least not publicly, but according to the information I have, John Brennan, head of the CIA at the time, was the go-between with British intelligence, because what happened to circumvent a lot of the FISA requests, the legitimate or the to circumvent the domestic approval process, the stealth operation utilized British intelligence, the fruits of British intelligence, and vacuumed up the information that way. And at the part and parcel to that, or the coordinating that, was John Brennan. So we've got six U.S. intelligence agencies that are involved in this stealth task force. And, of course, everyone feigned ignorance and said, oh, no, we're operating legally. But, again, they freelanced, in many cases, they outsourced the surveillance to British intelligence. And that decision to insert GCHQ, British intelligence, as a backdoor eavesdrop was in part a byproduct, if you will, by the denial of at least two FISA court warrant applications filed by the FBI, seeking to wiretap or to surveil President Donald Trump, then candidate Donald Trump. And remember, there was a midsummer FISA application that was turned down, and reportedly an October FISA application by a FISA court judge that approved the surveillance. And I believe the FISA court judge was Rudolph Contreras. Okay, now, it's interesting to point out that, and I don't know of anyone who's covering this right now, that British intelligence, when you think of British intelligence, you think, okay, they're working from the UK, for example. Well, people need to know that the British intelligence was actually working from NSA headquarters in Fort Meade, Maryland, and they had direct NSA supervision and guidance to conduct the sweeping surveillance. So it was not done from some remote location. It was done from within the offices of the NSA. And the illegal surveillance was in progress long before, and again, this is important because timing is everything. This illegal surveillance was in progress before the Steele dossier was made known or even created. And it was a set-up sting operation from the beginning. The deep state operatives attempted to set up Donald Trump, and people need to understand how important this is. Okay, for example, it would be akin, and I've used this in, I think it was yesterday's program or the previous programs, and as an investigator myself, there are things that you don't do ethically or even legally, because that's entrapment. If someone is sitting in a bar, you don't go up to that person and say, hey, you want to rob a bank? You want to help me rob a bank? I'll pay you half the proceeds or whatever, and keep badgering that person. No. You don't know. No. That's entrapment. No. Especially if you're an investigator. And I like to use this as well. Think of it this way, and a lot of people can relate to this from the detective shows on TV. As a private, myself as an investigator in the private sector, I did never look domestic cases. No, I concentrated on, or my specialty was working for Fortune 100 companies and major fraud cases. But when you equate a private investigator, you kind of in your mind see the flashing neon sign, the bottle of bourbon in the desk drawer, and it's tacky. And of course, you think of the PI spying on someone's wife or husband for infidelity reasons. Well, okay, go with that thought for a second, because what happened, I suppose one could make an analogy of this by saying, if you say you suspect your wife or your husband, I'll say your husband of spying, for example, or your husband, you suspect your husband of infidelity, and you follow me, he's at a bar one night, and you send a female operative in, and she throws himself all over the husband and stuff, and just on and on. That's the kind of dirty stuff that we're seeing here. Now, obviously. In this case, if in this analogy, the husband did not fall for that. In fact, told the, you know, the blonde operative to get, you know, go packing. And this is what we're seeing. But sometimes, let's just say, with the, going along with that analogy, that you've got a blonde and hitting on the guy, and you know, suddenly she throws her arms around the guy sitting in the bar minding his own business, and somebody snaps a picture right at that very moment. How does that look? Well, it looks bad, right? And that, of course, is the basis on which, well, hey, look, proving infidelity. No, you're not. So you see, do you understand that comparison? It's important to understand the optics is what is being pushed here, when in fact nothing is, it's not true. The opposite is true. And I think that perhaps that example will help you understand what's going on. But six intelligence agencies, as I mentioned, and I've already gone through the names. Now, I will say this, and this is important. I do believe that within the next, in the coming days, I can't give a timeline, but I do know that all of this will be released. The information will be released, and that will put, I do believe, though, that you're going to have the members of Congress calling for the cessation of the special counsel investigation. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I do see potentially reversals of the Manafort indictment, but that's getting too far ahead of things. But I trust me when I tell you, this is the most extremely critical point in American history, the most important time in our country's history, and the most volatile, dangerous time in our country's history. You're witnessing it right now. And if you don't think that this is the biggest story right now, you've got no idea. This is the biggest story in America right now, even though the media, for the most part, is trying to ignore. They're doing their best to ignore this or spin it in a different way, kind of spinning it like the blonde on the unsuspecting husband. That optic, pushing that optic, the erroneous optic. That's what's taking place right now. By the way, my notes, now well over 2,200 pages of notes, and I'm going to be writing a series of reports, hopefully this weekend, but this information has got to get out. It's got to get out quickly, and again, that's why I'm pleading with whoever is listening to the show, I'm pleading with you to share this show. Please point people to the Hagman or the Doug Hagman radio show. Please do that. Now, I talked about the role of British intelligence. Again, a few people are talking about this, but that's okay. That's going to come out down the road. But one thing I want to mention is the infamous in the transcripts that have come out of Glenn Simpson from the Senate Judiciary Committee, Dianne Feinstein, the transcript that she released. Remember Natalia Veselnitskaya, the Russian lawyer who met with Donald Trump Jr. at Trump Tower. This is important for everyone to remember and kind of comprehend. Now, she was, it might seem like these are willy-nilly disparate facts, but follow me on this. Because this involves Preet Bharara, this involves some really nefarious stuff. Veselnitskaya, the Russian attorney, the Russian lawyer who spearheaded the meeting at Trump Tower with Donald Trump Jr. and such, saying, oh, I've got some information for you, a meeting that really should never have taken place, but nonetheless it did, but it went nowhere. This was that sting operation. This was one of the sting operations, but this is the big sting operation. Glenn Simpson, in his testimony, by the way, denied knowing about that meeting. And that defies credulity because why? Because Glenn Simpson met with Veselnitskaya the day before that meeting and the day after that meeting. Yet to Congress, he denied knowing about the meeting itself. How can that be? What did they talk about? Okay, now, Did you know that she was previously barred from entering the United States due to her alleged connections with the Russian FSB, which, by the way, is the successor to the KGB? The KGB was the Russian intelligence during the Cold War era, Soviet Union era. The FSB now is its replacement. But days before that meeting at Trump Tower, Veselnitskaya was granted a rare visa to enter the United States. Can you guess by who? Who granted her that? Preet Bharara, at that time, the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York. Preet Bharara. You can follow his rantings on Twitter. And I'm amazed. I'm absolutely amazed by the, I will say this, I'm amazed at the abuses and misconduct by the prosecutors here, by the U.S. attorney, by the Department of Justice. Still amazed, even after reading Sidney Powell's book, License to Lie, which is absolutely incredible read. And it outlines, it's a great, easy read. It's not a dry read, but if you have a chance, License to Lie, Sidney Powell. I'm not getting any money for this. I don't, it's just one of those books that rings or that provides a lot of information about the abuses of the prosecutors here in this country. And it outlines how during the Enron scandal, if you will, Arthur Andersen, the accounting firm, 85,000 jobs were lost. Four officials were sent, Arthur Andersen executives were sent to jail on charges that were trumped up by the Department of Justice. It's an amazing thing how the Department of Justice actually destroyed a company, put four people in jail, only to have the verdicts overturned later and to be spanked by the courts. In other words, the prosecutors were spanked by the courts, overturning the verdicts. But this is where we're at today, except exponentially worse. But see, Bharara granted this visa, except Obama, the Obama regime already had done that. She was already working in the United States. But anyway, federal law enforcement sources had said about this that Bharara was simply following the orders of the Attorney General at that time, Loretta Lynch, who lobbied the State Department to issue a B-1 or B-2 non-immigrant visa. And that permitted Veselnitskaya entry into the United States for the sole purpose of entrapping Donald Trump. Now, when you look at Veselnitskaya, when you start unpacking that, let me tell you, I always joke, I need a bigger whiteboard. I don't, because I've got several. But when you start connecting the dots here, it appears that Veselnitskaya was likely paid by the U.S. government. Steele, who compiled the Donald Trump dossier, was paid at least $100,000, it appears now, from FBI funds. At the very least, if that's not the case, now, the best I've been able to come up with to prove or to say with a high degree of certainty that the FBI paid the expenses of Steele, if not paid him outright, close to $100,000. All right, now, the illegal wiretapping of Donald Trump, it began, and this is important, the timeline is important, long before the dossier from Steele was made known or even existed. The wiretaps on Donald Trump and on his campaign staff and his insiders, I found where this, contrary to what even Fox is reporting, it began in late 2015, which predates the 2016 election by at least a year. And at that time, of course, the targets were Michael Flynn and Carter Page. Carter Page, his only crime, again, based on everything I've been able to put together, or his, the only thing that was true in this whole mess is that Carter Page traveled to Russia. Okay, but stop right there. Because that is kind of a dry hole moving forward. But what the intelligence agencies, what they obtained from British eavesdropping, by which is a method of circumventing the FISA process, was then used as part of the basis for a FISA warrant that was obtained on Manafort and Donald Trump Jr. and Kushner. Now, this is what we're looking at here. This is the abuse of the process, abuse of the system. And William Binney does come into, and many people have said, well, you should talk to William Binney. Now, he comes into play a lot here because he has a lot of information about the process, and I'm not sure if I can get down that deep into the process. But I at least wanted to cover the six agencies who were involved in the wiretapping. Now, the latest news, well, let me give you some additional background. Back in December, I believe it was, Sarah Carter had written an article about how the FISA, how the surveillance program can be misused by anyone with access to it. The controversial NSA surveillance program, the 702, FISA 702, that program used to monitor foreigners, and that's who this is all directed to, was also being used by the FBI as a backdoor to gain warrantless access to American communications. And whistleblowers are many, including William Binney and others, but their disclosures are that the program's process to, They disclosed the program's process to congressional oversight committees. We're seeing that again with the House and Senate committees. But the concern over the warrantless surveillance is well placed, by the way. And it's beyond a doubt now that the Obama White House had accessed and unmasked communications of members of President Donald Trump's 2016 campaign, Donald Trump himself. But think about this. Remember the unmasking aspect of this. This is an important part of it as well. You have the access to the information, gaining access to it, and then the unmasking process and unmasking the names of those in the communication intercepts. This is a process. Now, remember this phrase because it's going to come up. Reverse targeting. Okay, reverse targeting. Remember that phrase. It's a process that occurs when intelligence and law enforcement officials use a foreign person as a legal pretense for their intended target. So just consider this. Here's an example. You've got Donald Trump talking with the foreign minister of Russia, a phone conversation as a candidate. And the intelligence agencies are looking at that foreign minister. All right? For whatever reason, they intercept the communications, and the unmasking occurs, not unmasking that foreign agent, but unmasking the American counterpart in the conversation, and that would be Donald Trump. Without regard to whether anything illegal took place, that's what happened with the unmasking. Now, you might think, well, wait a minute, isn't that a good thing? No, it's not a good thing. Remember my example of the husband at the bar, for example. And a picture is taken of this woman who throws her arms around the guy and, uninvited. But yet there's the optics of that. Look, there's the proof, there's a picture. And this is what the press is running with. It's that optic that's based on false pretenses. And think about how that all occurred in my analogy. You have a wife. We'll even expand that analogy, saying that the wife wants a divorce from the husband. And they live in an at-fault state, for example, where this kind of evidence could be used. Evidence of infidelity could be used in the divorce process to obtain assets. So a picture like that would be gold. Oh, my goodness, it would be golden. That's what happened. It was all, it was a setup. It was a sting. So imagine walking into a court, a hearing, a divorce court, and showing that picture and saying, see, this is evidence of my husband's infidelity. When in fact, that poor guy, the poor schmuck, was sitting at a bar having a beer, and you, the purveyor of the evidence, set that all up. Set the whole situation up. That's what we're talking about here. I don't know how else to make it any clearer because, again, this is a very complex situation, a lot of moving parts, but the bottom line is the Obama regime conspired with Hillary Clinton and used the intelligence services, the intelligence agencies, in very specifically the FISA 702 process, a very sacrosanct process against a political opponent. And that's what we're seeing. And that's the creation of the Russian narrative. There's the optics right there. And the special counsel, the appointment of a special counsel further ingrains that optic that there was some sort of illegal behavior on the part of Donald Trump. And that's what the press has run with. That's why you see CNN and MSNBC saying, see, where there's smoke, there's fire. There is none. Again, think back to my example of the guy at the bar and the wife or the woman operative who was paid to throw her arms around the neck of the husband or the guy when, in fact, the guy was, you know, pushing her away, had no clue who she is. And the optics there, see, this guy was unfaithful. But that's the most simple example I can make of what has taken place. So just getting back to the FISA, the NSA surveillance program, and I had said this before, but since 2005, it's become known that the NSA was vacuuming up every single bit of information, not just the metadata, but also the contents of the conversations, the contents of emails, not just the headers, but everything, and storing it at the massive storage, Utah Data Storage Center, whatever. But that's what is taking place. So what hasn't yet been under surveillance, pretty much everyone is under surveillance all the time. I guess that's the takeaway from this, and that the access to the data that already exists, well, that can be abused, and that's the FISA 702 program, and the program can be misused by anyone with access to it. And here's the takeaway with respect to this. Fusion GPS, as a private subcontractor, had access to, based on everything I'm seeing, had access to the FISA 702 process, the information, the fruits of that information. And the abuses, William Binney talks about the potential abuses, the extent of the abuses under the surveillance program is rife. I don't have time to get into the background, but you can read Sarah Carter's treatise on this, their disclosure on this. It's from December of 2017. Any rate, that's important to understand. So you've got there's the backdrop behind what we're seeing now. More where we're at today. And this is so critical because we are going to see, I think this weekend perhaps, if not next week, we're going to see a huge dump of information. And by the way, I want to mention this. Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, there are 10,000 text messages between them. Only 375 were released. 9,625 text messages have yet to be released. And everyone's calling for the release of all 10,000 of those messages because they will contain evidence of this this illegal process. So what we're going to be seeing is from a period of late fall 2015 through April 18th of 2016. Justice Department, political, etc. And by the way, those dates are approximate, okay, but it's based on research, and the surveillance continues. That's important to understand. And the objective continues to remove Donald Trump from office. But during that period of time, Justice Department political insiders and even the political contractors such as and including Fusion GPS accessed NSA and FBI database information using FISA 702 queries. All right, they gathered information on the opposition, on Clinton's opposition, meaning Donald Trump and everyone who worked for Donald Trump. Deep state political opposition research. This was conducted inside the government for a long time, and it was weaponized against Donald Trump, and further refined. That weaponization was further refined by the media, who is complicit in all of this as well. Now, Mike Rogers conducted a full FISA audit. The NSA compliance officer looked at the querying activity. You query, for example, the database. Now, the compliance investigation revealed that there was abuses out the wazoo. And as a matter of fact, contractor access to the ongoing intelligence was stopped effective April 18th, 2016, which is why I use that date. In fact, again, Conservative Treehouse Sundance, you can get a great the article by Sundance, great timeline there. But the FISA abuse process violated Donald Trump's rights, but it was known to Obama, and it was known to Loretta Lynch and James Comey and all of those people. And the four-page memo, this is what will be revealed in this memo, along with the materials that granted the last FISA warrant. This is what will be revealed. And I don't think that the progressives, some say Democrats, will be able to survive. And most assuredly, the individuals involved in this process, the Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, the people I mentioned, I don't think that they're going to be able to survive, politically survive, what will be revealed. And this is why right now, this is the most dangerous time in history, because the deep state, the members of the deep state, are absolutely there, like a cornered badger. I've never seen a cornered badger, but I hear they're pretty nasty. When the full story finally comes out, this is important. The reason everyone's calling for the release of all of the information, the reason the people like Matthew Goetz and others are calling for the release of all of the information. The court documents, it'll show that there was corruption at the highest levels of government. And I'm talking about corruption right up to Obama. And most assuredly, Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton and the DNC paid for this material, this dossier, paid for the surveillance operatives and operation. When this all comes out, the criminal activity will be exposed. The criminal activity behind this will be exposed. And that's where we are today. The central collection unit would be Fusion GPS. The key figures in the spying enterprise, Glenn Simpson and Mary Jacoby, husband and wife. By the way, Mary Jacoby, her relationship with the Clintons goes back to the Rose Law Firm. Fusion GPS has been peddling this Russian narrative now, continuing today, but even several months prior to being hired by Hillary Clinton via Perkins Coie. Perkins Coie is the law firm that shows up with Obama, shows up with Hillary Clinton. But the and again, the other key figures, Bruce and Nellie Orr, Bruce Orr, chief of the Organized Crime and Racketeering Section of the United States Department of Justice. Nellie Orr, who is shown as the researcher for Open Source Works. Nellie Orr, hired by Fusion GPS. Glenn Simpson. These are the people who are attempting to take down our government. Glenn Simpson, Christopher Steele, Hillary Clinton, Mary Jacoby, Nellie Orr. Fusion GPS working in conjunction with the Clinton campaign, the DNC, with the full knowledge, if not the direction, or at least the tacit approval of Barack Hussein Obama and Loretta Lynch. Makes you kind of rethink that tarmac meeting, too, between Lynch and Bill Clinton. Many angles to that. But the but what will come out? And by the way, John McCain has his hands dirty as well in this whole process. You will find too, over the next over the coming days, that the Hillary Clinton campaigns, the supporters of Hillary Clinton, the United States media, are attempting to distance themselves from the dossier. But there is no getting around the fact that Clinton and the DNC hired Glenn Simpson, Fusion GPS, and ultimately it was them who created this fake dossier. Senate Judiciary Chairman Chuck Grassley said, now, there's this narrative out there, well, oh, we were all fooled. In fact, Hillary Clinton might feign ignorance and say, oh, we were fooled. No. That's not going to fly here. No one was hoodwinked. No one was fooled, regardless of what maybe Adam Schiff might say or those people who are taking part in trying to cover for the criminality of what happened. It's more than criminal. In my view, it's treasonous. Fighting on the side of good in this case, Bob Goodlatte, Chuck Grassley, Devin Nunes, working in concert to get the information out there. And House Intelligence Chairman Devin Nunes, he's focused on the FISA abuse and overall abuse from the larger intelligence community. That includes the FBI, CIA, ODNI, NSA. The FISA 702 angle is his leverage to reveal it. Grassley is focused on the dossier fraud, the overall Department of Justice and FBI corruption, and the Steele dossier is his leverage to reveal it. And then you've got House Judiciary Chairman Bob Goodlatte. He's focused on the FBI and the Department of Justice corruption, and his leverage is the Office of the Inspector General, Michael Horowitz, who I've spoken about in this program before. The thorough investigation by the Inspector General just turned over 1.2 million pages of investigative documents. They're working together, each with a very, very specific attack strategy to drain the swamp. And this will be the wrecking ball that will shatter that'll expose the corruption from within. This is the most incredible time. It will all be revealed. Buckle up. Brace for impact, because this is coming out. The rot from within. The attempted takedown of President Donald Trump. That's at the heart of all of this. This is a coup. An attempted coup by the intelligence agencies. I hope I at least brought some level of explanation of what's going on. This is huge, the biggest story of our lifetime. Folks, thank you so much for your belief and trust in me. Please share this information with everyone you know. Please point them in the direction of the Doug Hagmann Radio Show. Not at the expense of our flagship show, The Hagmann Report, but this is focused on really what's going on right now. May God bless you. Have a great Friday. And take time to pet the dog, kiss your wife. Have a great day.
The Doug Hagmann Radio Show is brought to you by The Hagmann Report. Tune in to the Hagman Report weekdays, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. For more information, go to HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com.